Welcome to The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and as always, it's good to have you with us. Just a quick note here that over the weekend, the first major storm of the season, Hurricane Fiona, made landfall in Puerto Rico. The island's fragile infrastructure is still recovering from the devastation caused by Hurricane Maria back in 2017. And on Sunday, the winds and rains of Fiona left millions of Puerto Ricans without electricity, and much of the island remains under a flash flood advisory, even as Fiona has moved on to the Dominican Republic. Here at The Takeaway, our thoughts are with the people of Puerto Rico and all in the path of Fiona. And we're asking you to remember to stay tuned to your local public radio station for updates as the situation develops. Now, we're going to shift gears a bit, and we're going to talk about a very different kind of crisis. In a recent investigative piece for Early Learning Nation, Bryce Covert explains that across the United States, childcare providers are losing staff to large private corporations, including fast food restaurants and big box stores. About 88,000 fewer people are employed in the childcare industry than before the start of the pandemic. And this worker shortage is having real effects. Childcare workers typically earn less than school teachers, with an average pay of about $14 an hour, which amounts to a little more than $29,000 a year. And that is just slightly above the U.S. poverty level for a family of four. Despite this low pay, those who care for our youngest children are the very foundation of the American economy because they enable parents of young children to work. We heard from some of you about just how important your childcare providers are to your families.
Hello, my name is Maya, and I'm calling from Oakland. And I had a childcare provider named Max, who was an absolute lifesaver during the first year of the pandemic. They made the difference between my child's success in school and not, and helped me not feel isolated and just grateful to have community. Childcare providers make the world go round.
We have a son who has autism. He is now 32. We have had a provider who has been with us since he was three. When he was small, he had a lot of behavioral issues. It was hard to manage him, and as he's grown, he has gotten so used to her. She is a part of our family, and we could never have gone anywhere away from him had we not trusted her and loved her as a member of our family.
Hi, this is Kay from the Bronx, and I just wanted to express that daycare services are truly an essential service, and you would see during the pandemic, the first thing that was set up for essential workers was daycare services, and that's the first thing that allowed me to return to the hospital and carry out my work, because without it, we're just not able to function. So I'm hoping that one day the federal government would recognize how crucial this is and will just make it a universal program.
Thank you for letting us know about the ways you rely on your childcare providers. But what happens when this crucial support is not available?
My name is Bryce Covert. I'm an independent journalist writing about the economy.
My name is Khulood Jamil. I'm the owner of Khulood's Child Care.
Bryce, I want to start with you. What is going on with the staffing problem in childcare? Why is it so acute?
Well, it's been a problem for a long time. As listeners may know, childcare is a really challenging business to be in. It's one where the costs are fixed and the amount that providers can charge parents is not, it's hard to raise that without imposing hardship and possibly losing them. But that has now run headlong into the current economic conditions we're in. You know, first of all, the pandemic came. A lot of places had to shut their doors and staff didn't necessarily return after that. The staff has also been asked to go above and beyond, take on health risks by coming in, take temperatures, do extra cleaning. So some people left for that reason. And then now you've got the very tight labor market where lots of employers are struggling to compete and to hire people. But in childcare, because there are basically razor thin margins. It's not like providers really have anywhere to go to find extra money to pay more and attract those employees when large corporations like Walmart, like Target, can pony up. They can pay $20 an hour starting potentially. And these are for jobs where, you know, not to dismiss the work that people put in there, but they're not, you know, fostering children's development, wiping runny noses, possibly having to go through background checks. These are difficult jobs that people do in early education. And so these factors have all just combined to create a really acute staffing crisis. I've been reporting on childcare for a while. And this year, every conversation I had with a provider, the staffing issue came up every single time.
Now, Khulod, you're a childcare provider. Can you start by telling me a little bit about your center, about Khulod's childcare?
Yes. I opened my childcare in 1996 as a small family childcare, which is I don't need staffing. But in 1998, there is a big demand to have more children. And I extend from small childcare, which is you could have up to 8 children, to large family childcare, which is we could have up to 14 children. And this is, was the biggest issue, staffing, since then. Always it's hard to find an employee because of the rate pay, and then also because we don't offer that great benefits, health insurance or retirement. Other big corporations can do that. So we always try to accommodate the need of my staff, but still if they find another job in Starbucks or Target or anyone else, yes, of course, they will leave us and go. And for us as a family childcare providers, it's really hard to hire anyone. All employees have to go to certain things. This is the license regulation. It's not a choice. They have to do background check, criminal record check, all the vaccination, not just COVID, but the TB test, the whooping cough, the measles, a lot of requirements. So, for example, if a staff call on sick, I have to close the childcare. I have to call the parents and tell them I don't have staff today, because by regulation, I cannot run the childcare by myself. And by the regulation, I cannot bring a neighbor to watch the children. Everyone close to the children have to do all these. The first aid, CPR, TB test, lot. There's a list of what to do to be close to an infant or a toddler or a preschool age. So yes, we are suffering. And it's a big, big issue always. But with the 2020, when the COVID hit us, it became even worse.
You know, as I'm listening to you, Khulod, Bryce, I want to bring you in again, because on the one hand, I understand all of these regulations, right? As a, my youngest is now in third grade, but, you know, it wasn't that long ago we were dealing with childcare questions like this. And, you know, yes, I want the background checks, right? It makes perfect sense to me, these health regulations. On the other hand, as I'm listening to Khulod speak, I think, oh, of course, I get it, right? So there will always be times when someone's going to be sick and will be out, and then suddenly the whole center's closed.
Right. I mean, I think you have to look at the big differences between the way we treat childcare and early education and the way we treat K through 12 education. You know, teachers also do not make a whole lot of money, but they tend to get better benefits, and they are definitely paid better than childcare providers. And that is in part because the government steps in and it funds public education. Whereas when it comes to childcare, basically it's all private, other than Head Start and some government subsidies that reach, you know, a small fraction of families. It's a completely private market where it's just between the providers and the families, and families can't afford to pay what it really costs to provide care and to treat these employees with the kind of wages and benefits that they deserve for the work that they do. So, like you said, we don't want to get rid of these regulations. You want to make sure that there are enough adults in the classroom to adequately care for children. You want to make sure that they are trained, that they are vaccinated, that they're ready for this work. But we also want to make sure that they're compensated well, and providers just don't have the profits to do that. This is really a failed market where the government just has to step in.
Khulod, walk me through that a little bit. Why did you make the choice to go into childcare? And, you know, I hear you saying that you lose employees to a Starbucks, to a Target, but I'm wondering, you know, it can be a bit of a calling, right, to do this work with young children. I'm wondering if your employees are just feeling like they have no choice but to leave, and if they're a little sad about having to go.
Well, let me tell you a short story about how did I start this business. In 1995, I came to the state, and my background, I'm a CPA, I'm an accountant. So this is my diploma, and then I bring it with me. Apply for Wells Fargo banks, and I apply also for a military base in Monterey, California, to be a translator there. But at that time, I have two little girls. I'm immigrant to this country. I was scared to leave them alone for long, long hour. I want to be there for them. So people start to knock on my door and say, oh, we know that you are children. I said, those are my two girls. So I start with a little boy, 9 months old. Then after that, people start to knock on my door. I said, okay, let me go get the license. So I get my license and start from there. Then after 1 year, this is 1996, after 1 year, I said, let me go to school and change my major. So I change it to early childhood and psychology. And then I found myself that I'm in love with babies and know how their brain develop, how they grow. And I feel that my job have a meanings, have a good result. You know, I'm me and my other providers, we are building the community. We are taking care of your children. You are not handing me a computer. You are not handing me a book. You are handing me your child, the most important things in your life. You giving me this child to take care of him. I have children 3 months old, up to 5 years old. And with the 2020, we didn't close our door at all, the family childcare centers. Head Start, they have to close, but we didn't. I have a family who are a police officers. I have a family who are a nurse in UCSF. I have a family who are doctors. So those, they still continue to do their great job by leaving their most precious things in my childcare with me. They don't have to worry, oh, when I'm going to put my child to go to work. They are with us. And then the problem is, yes, if you count how much we make, we are doing less than minimum wage. So how come I can pay my assistants with a big corporation? I cannot. I wish I could pay my assistants $50 an hour. They deserve it. They really deserve it. We all work together hand by hand to raise the community. But from where I can pay them? This year, I give my assistants a big raise, but I took 20% from my paycheck. If my husband is not working, I cannot live in the Bay Area no matter what. I'm depend on him by my health benefits and to cover some of the house expense. If it's just by myself, this is the job that I do for 27 years, I cannot live by it. So even when I ask, when I have a hire someone, what should I tell them? Come and live in poverty? And then at the same time, the bills for the parents is the most expensive bill after the mortgage or maybe with the mortgage. So if you have two children and you pay $3,000 a month or so or less, I don't know. It depends which city you are. Some cities charge a lot. Some cities in different zip code, they cannot charge that much. So it's really hard. It's really, really hard. We are stuck in between two rocks and we've been squeezed. I love this job and I don't want to leave it. I sat for a while, think what should else I do? And then, no, I don't want to change this. I love seeing children growing between my arms, seeing them from 3 months to 5 years old, how the brain develop, how they grow, how they walk, how they talk, teaching them the numbers, the letters, they start to write. It's all this in front of my eyes. It's the best job ever. The sadness is the government don't pay attention for the child care sectors. Some people feel that because I didn't find any other job, so what should I do? I did that. It's absolutely wrong. Most of us went back to school. We have a degree. I have a degree from before, but I changed it to have early childhood and psychology. So this is the majority. And to be honest, the majority is the private business. Who got subsidized kids is less than 20%. A Head Start, less than 20%. the most majority is a private, and we don't get help at all from anyone. Anyone, we have to serve food, and this have to be a healthy food. You know, I cannot serve junk food at all. So I cook Mediterranean food from scratch to the children. And then, of course, if a child wants second bowl or third bowl, I will give him that. I don't want children starve in my childcare at all.
Bryce, why is there so little investment for this sort of critical moment for our children?
I wish I knew. A lot of it, I think, has to do with the way we've divided childcare from the rest of the education children receive after they turn 5 years old, which is pretty much a false dichotomy. A lot of it is the politics in this country around government programs and the way we tend to think of them as only benefiting the poor and thinking of the poor as only being people of color and the racial animus that that can inspire, because lots of other countries have done a better job than we have. And not just Scandinavian companies, but our countries, Canada, the UK, many of our peers have addressed this in a way that we haven't. And as Khalid was saying, without the government doing more, childcare providers are really stuck between a rock and a hard place. And it's such a tragedy for them. And it's also a tragedy for families and for children. We know we have so many reams of data and studies showing that these are the most critical years for people's development, that so much happens in the early years that's critical for the rest of their lives. And also that investing in children at this time of their lives through quality education, through quality childcare, pays dividends later on. So it's not like it's a bad investment to be making. It's a very smart investment and a humane investment. It's just politically, for some reason, it's one that we have not made.
Bryce, I want to just push on that one more time. So I hear your point around sort of how we imagine government programs. I wonder also if this is gendered, if even as Khalid is speaking about her degree, about her professionalism, if we also just perceive, oh, well, women taking care of young children is somehow a natural extension of mothering care or domestic work that really doesn't even need to be paid. And, you know, and when it is paid, is always paid at such a low wage.
Absolutely. I would say it's gendered in two ways. Of course, like you're saying, the vast majority of childcare providers and those who work in this industry are women. They are also majority women of color. And in care work like this, we do tend to just assume that people will just do it out of the good of their hearts. That they don't need to be compensated for it. It's just something that women do. It's just something that comes naturally. And certainly, I think the people who do it, like Khalid, have passion for it. But that doesn't mean they shouldn't be compensated well for it. And then the other side of the gender coin is that the politics around young children and working mothers have always been complicated in our country and elsewhere. There has been a long debate about whether it's okay for women to send their children to childcare and whether they should instead drop out of the workforce and stay home with them. And so I think that childcare investment sometimes gets tangled up in that, although the politics of that, I think, have shifted as so many more women are in the labor force working and so many families rely on two incomes to get by. I think it's become a little bit of a no-brainer that children need a high-quality place to go during the workday. But that is some of what's made this more complicated, perhaps.
Khalid, I'm wondering, I'm sure there are some folks who will say, why not just raise your prices? You know, you've got these parents, they need to send their child to you. You seem to be doing really wonderful and caring work. Charge them more money.
I wish I could, because our prices is also already high. You know, that not everyone can afford paying $400, $500 a week. It's too much. What if they have the second child? How much we could charge? How much we could raise our tuition? We cannot. We cannot. There is a standards. And then, for example, let me ask you a question. A bottle of soda, you bring it from, you bought it from Safeway, is $1. Are you going to buy it from another grocery store with $5 a bottle? So we cannot raise. There is a cap. This is the how we could charge. Yes, we are private. I could charge $1,000 a week. No one can tell me anything. but I cannot because I will not find any parents. And then I have a feeling for those parents too. I put myself in their shoes. You know, we always think about them. It's not a work in a company. It's different. It's different. There is this relationship between me and the family. I have their children minimum 10 hours a day. My hours is 11 hours a day. So minimum, I'll have them 10 hours. They trust me with their children. How am I going to charge them that much and see them struggling? They cannot. They cannot. And it's also, let me make a comment about what Bryce said. I got a quote from my sister yesterday. She sent me something. She said, it's easier to build a strong children than to repair a broken man. This is said by Frederick Douglass. And it's absolutely true. We, the family childcare provider, trying our best to raise little ones in their first 5 years. And I'm sure that everyone knows that this is the first 5 years, the most important years. This is where the brain develops and the cells connect so rapidly. So we are trying to put in those children the respect, the knowledge, the kindness, the responsibility of taking care of everything. I talk with the children about plants around us. I talk with the children how to save the water when we wash our hands. The electricity, if we don't need the light, then we'll turn off the light. Because always there's because after that. And I make lessons and curriculums about these things, how to save the fish and the whales and the shark, which is they love if we keep the water running. So I do all these things daily base. Plus all the academic things, the math and science and language, all that we all know about them. But we are do above and beyond. In 2020, when the children, some of them stay home with their parents, they're scared, but they ask for my food. And then I was cooking lunch for the children who stay come to my childcare and for those who are not. And then when the children nap, I have my assistant stay with them. And then I go deliver this food to their door because they are missing my food, and they refuse to eat. They want the rice and the soup that Miss Kulud with a vegetable. So it's been a great relationship with the parents. It's you work with the children. I don't know what else can I say. I don't know how come the lawmakers don't pay attention for us. As Bryce said, in other countries in Europe, it's totally different, and we are here in the US, the best country in the whole world, number one country. We really, really need to push so hard. So last weekend, I went to Washington, D.C. to attend a meeting with the Child Care Changemakers. Those are a great organization helping us to advocate, to talk to the lawmakers about the child care sectors, how we need the help from the government to establish a health benefits, to establish a retirement plan for us. Yes, we will pay for that. I'm not asking to be free 100%, but just like any other company, maybe the union can support us. Someone support us to start a health benefit and a retirement, not just for subsidized families, for all family childcare providers, all, because we all do the same job. We all treat the children equally. I don't treat a child different because his family are needy, poor people. And then I treat the other child who has parents making good money differently. I'm teaching the children, all of them, the same, all of them. So I deserve, and other providers, all of us deserve what we are doing.
Bryce, can you talk about the end of the child tax credit? We know that it had this extraordinary effect of lifting so many millions of children out of poverty, cutting child poverty in half. That child tax credit was allowed to expire. I'm wondering the extent to which that expiration is also affecting what we're seeing here in terms of both the capacity of families to even pay for childcare.
It's certainly not helping. As you pointed out, the child tax credit that was expanded and sent out monthly last year under the American Rescue Plan did just an enormous amount to reduce poverty and hardship and hunger among many, many American families. I will say it was an important amount of money. It was not nearly as much as people need to be able to cover the cost of childcare. So I'd imagine it helped on the margins. It was not the kinds of amounts that people need to pay for childcare, but it can't be helping this current situation. The other thing that's happened, though, and perhaps is even more salient, is that under the American Rescue Plan, there was also funding that went to states to try to rescue the childcare industry, to give them grants, to stabilize them, to try to expand. And that, I have heard from providers, really went a long way. One provider I spoke to for my piece said she was actually able to raise pay this year and attract people to hire through those payments. But the problem is those were one-time payments, and those have to be used, I believe, by 2026. So that money is going to be gone really soon. And what people had hoped was that there would be more behind it when Democrats included childcare investment in the Build Back Better reconciliation package. And then that got stripped out from what they actually eventually ended up passing. So now providers are left in this predicament of having this really acute staffing crisis. Like you said, the child tax credit is not there helping families have more money in their pockets. And the investment that this country made is about to dry up. So unless someone steps in, it's only going to get worse.
One more piece on policy, Bryce. So I'm wondering, sometimes we go directly at a problem, and sometimes it's that there are these other structural aspects that would have a tremendous effect. So I'm thinking, for example, sort of Khalud's point about benefits. If there were sort of more expansive accessibility for health insurance that didn't require it being connected with the employer, would that make a difference here?
Yes, I think that would make a difference if healthcare were something that everyone could get and it didn't necessarily have to go through an employer like a childcare provider who may want to provide it and can't financially. Something like paid family leave for everyone would also help. So then people would have pay if they needed to take time off of work. But I think those things still would need to be coupled with investment here, because even if you have benefits in these jobs, which absolutely is important and these providers deserve, they're still making minimum wage usually. And this jobs and its importance, what it demands of you, what you're giving to the community, it really is so much more than minimum wage. So it's a problem that's been broken for a long time. I think, as with many things, the pandemic has just really shown a very bright light on it. My hope is that that leads to some reconsideration of the way we do that in this country.
Khalud, let me ask this. If you had many more resources and were able to pay a fair wage or maybe benefits, what would be the package that you would offer to assistants to make sure that you could retain them and not lose them to a Starbucks or a Target?
So being, as Bryce said, we are getting the minimum, or actually under the minimum wage if you calculate it, because our bills is so high. My PG&E bills is so high, the electricity bill, because I have to have the heater and the air cooler at a certain degree by licensing, by regulation, to keep the children in a great temperature. Also the water, it's really getting high. And if you spend that above that much, amount is also, you know, like I get more price on each letters we spend because of the children wash their hands a lot, flush the toilet out, all these expenses. So if I can offer my assistance like $20 or more with the benefits, with the retirement, of course they will stay because they love babies. When you work with babies and the baby smile on your face and give you a hug in the morning, this is the best feeling in the whole world. You know, parents came knock on my door and then the child see our faces and then they just laugh and they throw themselves on us and give us big hug. And because we pat their back, they start to do that. They pat our back too. This is the best feeling from babies, from innocent children. Before they leave, when their parents come to pick them up, they don't want to leave with hug, hug, hug. They run after us and they give each teacher a hug. So the teacher loved this. No one can work with the children if they don't have a patient and a passion for children. So we all have this. But when they leave the job, it's just because they need to put food on their table too. They have a family, they have expense, and we live in the Bay Area. I hope that the lawmakers doesn't think that, okay, leave the Bay Area if it's too expensive. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. We need them to pay attention for us. I don't know how come they don't think like that. They don't think that we are build the community. We are build United States. They've been babies before. They have children. They have grandchildren. Don't you think about that? Why you only think about kindergarten and above? How about the first 5 years? Where those children go? I have to close my child care for a day or two in June this year because two of my assistants have an emergency. One have a death in the family, one was in the emergency room. And then I don't have anyone and I couldn't run my child care. And I couldn't, so who should I choose from the parents? You stay home and you bring your child. So if I have six or less, I could do it by myself. I couldn't do that. Do you know how much struggle the parents went through? They went through big, big struggle with that. Because at 7 a.m. in the morning, I open my door 7:30. I have to give them a text and a call. This is the situation. I'm very sorry. I cried that weekend. It was Friday. I cried that weekend. On Sunday, I went to the store near my home, grocery stores near my home, bought flowers, chocolate, and a thank you card for the parents. So that one day of closing, not just let me lose the wages for that day, but I pay from my own money to say thank you for the parents and I appreciate your understanding for what happened on Friday. And it's not my fault. I was there. I wasn't sick. Nothing happened with me, but I didn't have a staff on that day. And as I said, there is no an agency that I could call and then they have cleared people already and they bring them to my school, said, okay, Sam, go to Kulus Child Care because she needs someone today. We don't have this in our field. We don't. Everyone hires someone. And then even the hiring process, if I talk, I will talk from now to tomorrow. It's not easy. It's really hard to find people. And after we find those as great assistants, it's really hard to keep them because of the minimum wage, because of the benefits. It's really need a system to help the early childhood in this country, in the great country.
Khulod Jamil, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for letting me talk with you.
And Bryce Covert, thank you as well for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on.